time now for the KND Bear Grease Report.
This Bear Grease Report brought to you by the Trail Center Lodge up north on the Gunflint Trail and Energy Plus of Duluth.
Jason Rice on the trail of the Bear Grease, our Bear Grease reporter and race director, not necessarily in that order. Hey, good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Lisa.
So much to talk about, so little time. Ryan Reddington, you know, I said this morning to somebody, it's in the past, for the past few years, it's been, oh, Ryan Anderson will win or Nathan Schroeder will win, Ryan or Nathan. And all of a sudden, Ryan Reddington came in. You mentioned when we talked before the race began that he was a new name and a new pedigree. Has he kind of upset the status quo a little bit?
Well, he certainly has made a few eyeballs raise up and look and say, okay, can he sustain this? That's the big question. So one thing that I think we're going to be watching today is how well does he hold up? He's running a team of seven dogs. He just checked out 8 minutes ago, checked out of Skyport on Devil Track Lake, Skyport Lodge on Devil Track Lake. So he is headed downbound, heading towards home, but he's going to have a couple of checkpoints still in between. We anticipate seeing him in approximately three and a half hours at the next checkpoint, which is going to be Sawbill Trail near Tofty. And he's running a team of seven dogs. He left Grand Portage here last night, just after, I suppose, about 18 after 9, and he had seven dogs. He had come in here, actually, with four more dogs than that. So coming in here with 11, leaving with 7. He didn't seem to be too down on his luck or anything. He was a little concerned, but he said, I can still make it home with 7. So he still seems to have a swagger and confidence that he can do this. He certainly has been mushing pretty much all of his life, and he's comes from a family of very experienced mushers. There's no question that he's been on the trail, and he's been behind a team of dogs for many, many, probably thousands of hours in his life. I don't question his abilities. The question is whether or not the strategy of running fast, as fast as possible in every leg of a 375-mile marathon, is that going to work? Has he somehow found the magic combination of dogs that can sustain a higher speed? And what we're talking about is really, it's kind of the minutiae when you drill down to it. It's a difference between running 9 miles an hour and 8 miles an hour as an average. That 1 mile an hour difference is significant enough that it can put you ahead at the finish line if you can maintain it. So we're going to see with him coming up to the hill section now with seven dogs, how will he fare compared to teams like Ryan Anderson, who was still running, 12 or 13 dogs last night, and we would anticipate another large team checking out this morning. Why does that matter? Well, obviously more horsepower going through the hills. It's just as much work going up those hills, no matter how many dogs you have. However, you've got more hands on deck helping. So I think that that makes a difference. Also, Matthew Schmidt running a great team. Matthew is taking the runners this year. His wife, Erin Ultimus, who has been a marathon musher for a number of the past few years with the same dog team. This year, she's expecting, and now Matthew is the guy on the runners, and they're having a fantastic run so far. So I think you cannot rule out Nathan Schroeder either. He's down to 9 dogs, but he knows how to nurse them, and he's also had that formula that seems to work to get to the finish line.
He has indeed. Now, when the last time we talked, one of the things that was significant about Ryan Reddington is that he was behind on the mandatory rest that he needed to take. Has he been able to make up any of that, or does he still have mandatory rest time he needs to take?
So he's going to have to accumulate a total of 30 hours. So if you want to get into inside baseball, here's what you can watch for. By the time he leaves Finland checkpoint, you're going to be looking for him to probably, or at least in his strategic mind, he would probably like to have all but 4 hours taken. So you'd like to see in the total rest column after leaving Finland today, you'd like to, if I'm Ryan, I would like to see that I only that I have 26 hours total of accumulated rest, which means that that four-hour mandatory layover in two harbors means he'd only have to stay 4 hours and not any extra. If for some reason he hasn't taken at least 26 hours of rest by the time he gets to two harbors, he will have to sit and wait it out even longer than the 4 hours until he has accumulated the 30 hours of mandatory minimum total rest. So there's some strategy here. I would look for him to be resting at a couple of other places where a team like Ryan Anderson might not. Something that I would anticipate Anderson and Schroeder, of course, this is condition dependent now. If it's too hot while they're running, they may decide to rest at a checkpoint that they wouldn't normally, but the typical strategy coming downbound here, heading toward the home stretch and the finish, is going to be to get a little bit of rest at Devil Track, take a little bit more rest at Sawbill, and then run down, skip the Finland checkpoint. You just basically check in and check right back out and get yourself to two harbors. Whereas I think that what you're going to see is Ryan Reddington having to take, he'll have no choice but to take rest for a while at Finland. So we could see, even though, once again, he's the leader on the trail, we need to see how his rest accumulates to catch up to where everybody else is. I have not analyzed that yet, but as of the time they left Grand Portage last night, he was about 2 hours less rest than the chase pack, if you will, that group involving Ryan Anderson and Matthew Schmidt and Nathan Schroeder. So he's going to have to make up a couple of hours. You know, when you look at the differential of when he came into Skyport about 3:31, and I'm seeing that 2 hours later, you had at 5:32, you had Matt Schmidt come in, and at 5:36, you had, I'm sorry, I'm just looking to see the name here, and that was Ryan Anderson. So approximately 2 hours.
And then about 8 minutes after that, then Nathan Schroeder left, I noticed. So, you know, I'm sure that Chris is going to have the opportunity to talk with you about this a little bit more in detail this afternoon at 2 o'clock. But I have to just ask you super fast. The rules of trail courtesy. We're rapidly approaching the time when the rules of trail courtesy are suspended. And that is also a time when things could get kind of interesting. Can you speak to that just briefly?
Well, the rule is if you're attempting to pass somebody, so if Ryan Reddington's out on the trail and another musher is coming up and catching up to him, the rule is that you can call trail. That's actually what they'll say, trail, and then Ryan, by courtesy and by tradition with mushing, you slow your team down or stop them so that the other team can pass safely. It kind of slingshots the other team past you. Once you get nearing that finish line, I believe it's about the last mile or so out from the finish line, there is no calling of trail. Your dogs are just going to have to, if you want to pass, you're going to have to call them up. All right, guys, let's go. And you're going to have to get them to pass naturally. He's under no expectation of slowing down to let someone pass. We call it no man's land.
Well, and isn't it also an issue that you just can't really pass? It's like trees.
Well, there's a strange mental thing about it, but in brief, dogs like to catch up to other dogs. It's always fun. I know when I've been mushing, it's always more fun when there's a team up ahead of us to chase. It gives the dogs great motivation. But once you catch up to them, they're sort of like, okay, here's our friends. Now let's just hang with them. And it's kind of like when two vehicles are both on I-35 with their cruise control set at the exact same speed or within a half a mile an hour of each other. Neither vehicle seems to pass, and you just sort of get a stalemate.
Right, and the Highway Patrol hates that kind of thing. I got to let you know. Jason, it's going to be so exciting to continue to talk with you today. We've got another report coming up this morning at 11. Chris Harwood will be talking with you this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and I hope to catch up with you a little bit later this morning or early afternoon somewhere along the trail. Thanks again, Jason.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, KUMD.
This KUMD Bear Grease report is brought to you by Bearskin Lodge, midway up the Gunflint Trail, and by Energy Plus of Duluth.